Welcome to Tech Webcast, Australia's leading technology show. Download our iPhone app, www.techwebcast.info. Tech Webcast is on hiatus over Christmas and will resume broadcasting on the 8th of January 2011. In the meantime, here's the best of Tech Webcast.
We're going to talk to you about the This Week In website. How did it all get started from the beginning?
This Week In really grew out of Mahalo. Jason Calacanis started Mahalo.com, and we used to do a podcast, The Mahalo Daily. You guys may remember it. Veronica Belmont was on it at first, and then I took over sort of after she left. And, you know, we were doing podcasty kind of stuff. I mean, go out on the road, do silly events or whatever. And then we started doing This Week in YouTube in the studio. And after we built the studio, Jason decided to start doing his own show, This Week in Startups. And then one day, he's buddies with actor-comedian Kevin Pollak. You guys may remember from Casino, Usual Suspects, and he came in and saw this studio and was like, I want to do this Charlie Rose interview show. So after that, we had three shows going. It kind of made sense to just, you know, keep going, see how many different shows we could do. And now we do 16.
Wow, 16 shows. Wow.
Yeah. And growing all the time. We got a couple, we're shooting a couple pilots right now. And so it'll probably be up to 20 before long.
What type of equipment do you use for recording your shows? Do you have, like, studio cameras? And what sort of resolution do you record the shows at?
We've got about six cameras in the studio. And, you know, I mean, I don't actually know the resolution. It's all standard definition. We don't do HD. And it all runs through the TriCaster, which is the new tech TriCaster, which is really what makes the whole thing possible because, it's a live studio sort of in a box, really. So we're just shooting, we're loading it directly up on the web after it's shot. You know, we're trying to avoid, sometimes it's unavoidable, but for the most part, we're trying to avoid any kind of post-editing, anything like that. It goes right from the TriCaster. We save it in a Drobo unit, and then it goes up to, iTunes, YouTube, everywhere else.
Cool.
I think I remember hearing you going to maybe do some green screen for something in the future, a tech show.
We actually do This Week in YouTube in front of a green screen. We've got a green screen on one wall, and then all the rest is just black curtain. So most of the shows have that very distinctive. It's just like kind of a couple hosts and then a guest, and then they're in this like endless black void, essentially. But This Week in YouTube, yeah, we do it with me and a co-host in front of a green screen, and then we, you know, put in like a news desk kind of background.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool. You know, I'm just pretty much a step down from that as far as the TriCaster. I'm using Wirecast, if you're familiar with that, and I feel your pain on the post production. If I do an hour show, a typical episode of my main show Today in Tech, about an hour and a half, I'll spend 3 hours on editing if it's video. I try to keep that minimum myself. It's a lot.
The minute we have anything, and sometimes, you know, like some of our shows, we don't care if people swear, but other shows we're trying not to get explicit tag on iTunes. So as soon as somebody says a bad word, it's like, ugh, that's our whole night is ruined now because we have to go back and upload it and edit it out and then redigitize it and then load it back in. And I mean, it just adds so much. Really, we couldn't do, because we're not a huge company, we couldn't do as many shows as we're doing and the schedule we're doing any other way. It just wouldn't even be possible.
Yeah, I hear you there. You know, I mean, for me, it seems like everything works until I need it to. I just the other day, I had Chris Perillo on the show from Lock and Omen, formerly on Tech TV. He was on the show. We were supposed to do a 10 to 20 minute segment. It ended up being 40 minutes, about 30 of which was content. The Skype call kept dropping, and apparently the beta version of Skype gave my i7 computer a blue screen of death. So I was still recording on the broadcast. I was recording on the broadcast computer, but I was getting blue screens and just every technical error that could possibly happen.
Yeah, I mean, when you're doing live shows, there's always something that can go wrong. I mean, we find that too. And every time we think, okay, now it's all locked down, we know everything that we're doing, it's going to work beautifully this time, we come up with another thing that can go wrong. And, you know, sometimes it's human error, sometimes it's the equipment, but, you know, it's just the nature of doing everything live and being live on the internet, you know, for 4, 5, 6 plus hours a day. I mean, things are just bound to go wrong. Nothing is perfect.
Yeah, true.
People like, I think it makes for really good TV, because when you watch TV, I was a big fan of tech TV, you know, when things would go wrong every once in a while there, it kind of makes it more more real when there's production errors and you're watching it live. People like it, I think.
Yeah, so, I mean, some people definitely dig that, and I think a lot of doing live shows and this kind of stuff on the internet, and obviously with you guys too, is the personal connection. People feel like they're getting to know you. It's not TV, which is really impersonal. But at the same time, you do get people who just have these incredibly high standards, and as soon as something goes wrong, it's you get angry emails and people in the chat room are freaking out, and it's like, oh my God, this is so unprofessional. And, you know, so I get both kinds of feedback from people, definitely.
All right, I'm going to ask you about your about the iPad launch. When's the iPad out, mate?
Sure. When's the iPad out?
Yeah, sorry, the iPad app. Sorry, the iPad.
Oh,
app.
The iPad app. Yeah, the app. Okay.
Sorry.
I thought you were asking when it was released. Like, it's been out for a while.
Yeah. sorry.
No, the app is coming. One of the big issue we ran into was, and I'm not clear on exactly all the details because I don't design iPad apps, but somehow something we were doing in terms of how we were digitizing the old episodes, like how we were archiving our episodes, and the way that the iPad app wants to integrate with those episodes is just crashing and causing all these errors, and it keeps pushing it back. So basically we have to go back and reformat hundreds of episodes all of our shows so that they'll play and look great in the iPad app. And I mean, the first run through, we were getting ready to release it. We thought it was like a week away, and then I'm watching some of the shows and they're all splotchy and grainy and look terrible. So, you know, we want to hold it back until all the shows are going to look super great, like exactly how they'd look if you were watching it on your computer. So, it's still going to be probably another at least 2 weeks or so, but I wish I knew more exactly, but I don't. I think 2 weeks.
Good stuff, mate. What's your favorite iPad app?
Oh, wow. There's a lot that I've been playing with around lately. I mean, it's tough because I feel like we had a guest, Uriel Ohayon, who does AppsFire. He was on our show this week, and he made a really good point, which is there's two kinds of apps. There's games, and then there's, like, everything else.
Yep.
So if you're talking games, I mean, I think, you know, Plants vs. Zombies is amazing. I've been playing a lot of Everlands HD on my iPad, which is really fun.
Angry Birds.
And We Rule. I'm sorry, go ahead.
We Rule and Angry Birds are my favorite games to play.
Yeah, We Rule is great. And, you know, if you're talking, like, productivity or other kinds of stuff, I mean, I like I'm using Twitterific for Twitter, and I love the Kindle app. Like, the Kindle app for my iPad is awesome. I've really been enjoying that. And Evernote. I was really skeptical on Evernote for a long time, and then Mike, a guy I work with, was just, like, insisting you have to start using it. Now I don't really know what I would do without it. Now it's become, like, kind of an essential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Evernote's a great application. I recommend to anyone who's got an iPhone or an iPad.
I mean, it's basically my phone and my desktop at home and my desktop at work and my iPad, and it's very fluid now. And I really have never found – that's always, like, the biggest pain point to me about the iPad is stuff I'm doing there that I want to just be able to get to it wherever I am. I mean, it just seems so silly that that's a big stumbling block, but it sort of is. And Evernote really takes a lot of the pain out of that.
Cool. Now, I watched your last episode just today. You're doing an iPad cases in September. Is that correct?
We're working right now. I heard from just randomly, coincidentally, in the last like week and a half or so, I've heard from three different people who make different iPad cases, and they all wanted to come on the show. And I was just like, we always focus, you know, very much on the software app side of things.
Yep.
Because I just always felt like that's where people's heads were at. But now, you know, it seems like there's all of a sudden there's a lot of attention being paid to, you know, what kind of case you have. And I know people are always asking whenever I change cases or anything, they're always really curious about why I'm using the case I'm using. So yeah, we may do even more than one, but definitely going to do an episode coming up that's just different ideas about cases and how to work cases. And I'm using this, Zugu one right now that, somebody sent to me.
Cool.
That's actually, really great.
Okay.
And I'm not being paid to say that or anything. It's just I really like it.
I have to recommend a case to you, Lonzo. It's called Dodo Case.
That's one of the people I heard from.
We spoke to Craig from Dodo Case a while back. He's a cool guy, and they make really good quality cases, and it's worth the money to buy one too.
Yeah, what I'm going to do for the show is, I mean, we got a couple people who make them are going to come on. I'm just going to order like five or six different ones that I've heard are good. And we'll just, you know, we'll do exactly what we do on the show, which is just like compare and contrast, pluses, minuses, things that we like and that we don't like. And, you know, hopefully it's a little helpful for people.
Good stuff. All right. So, Brenton or Jason, you got a question for the guest?
No, unfortunately.
That's it.
What about you, Jason? You got a question?
Do you have any new shows coming up that you're planning on that we could hear about early?
Sure. I mean, we've got a ton. Like, we have I basically, when I first took the job, I made this huge list of all the different kinds of shows I want to do. And now I just go one by one. And, you know, the challenge is always, one, that I'm interested in it and I think that it would be a good show. And two, that, you know, I think that there's an audience for it and that we could actually build and that it's not overstuffed, because I think a lot of the kinds of shows we'd like to do, there's so many other shows like it. And the last one is, can I find a host and can I find a sponsor? So all that has to go into it. We're definitely planning to do This Week in Cars is coming soon. This Week in Web TV we're working on getting together right now. This Week in Marketing, I think, is probably on the horizon pretty soon. I'm trying to think if there's any others that are definitely going to happen.
What about home theater? Any home theater stuff or HD TV stuff?
Yeah, I mean, This Week in Home Theater is definitely one that I would like to do, and it seems like a natural fit for sponsors, but we actually find that it's pretty tough to get a lot of these big brands to come in on what we're doing.
Yep.
Even though, you know, some of our shows get pretty good numbers. You know, they're building an audience. It's just, you know, you have to go through – as soon as you have to go through an ad agency, we're done. They don't get what we're doing. They want all kinds of demographics that we don't have. That's a really big thing. Like, if your main audience is through the iTunes store, you don't really get any demographics. You don't know who's watching your shows because Apple won't tell you. Yeah. They want to keep all that data for themselves. So we can see, you know, we've got NetDNA, and we can, like, watch people are grabbing the episodes from our servers. But that's it. That's where it dies. That's all I know. So, you know, we'll go to these big brands and we'll tell them, you know, we've got, you know, 100,000 people are watching this show. We got, here's all the tweets about it. Like, people are engaged. And they'll just be like, yeah, but, you know, how many of those are males between the ages of 13 and 17?
Okay.
It's like, I have no friggin' idea. So home theater, that's tough, because a lot of the sponsors you'd want to get are, you know, either Sony, those kind of companies, or Best Buy and those kind of companies, and they all want that kind of data. But it's definitely a show I'd like to do and a topic that interests me personally, so I wouldn't count it out completely.
Good stuff. All right, go ahead, Dylan.
Well, we have a couple questions here from the chat room. We've got a bunch of people watching this being recorded live over at live.combs.tv. And I believe, Kyle wanted to know, he's an amateur filmmaker, or he wants to be an amateur filmmaker. And Lon, he wants to know what type of camera and microphone you'd recommend. Also, any advice that you could give him to get him started in his amateur film career?
I think the camera and microphone... really not my department. I apologize. I know it's a tech show, but I'm very much on the creative side of the office, so I'm pretty helpless with that. And I know we're not our cameras are a lot of them are hand-me-down. You know, they're older cameras. We had them at Mahalo starting in 2007. So I really think it's not as important. I know a lot of people tend to get a little obsessed with the technical aspects. And I mean, you know, I love to see things that are really crisp and clear and like red cameras and look amazing. But I really think just making content and the quality of the content is so much more important than how, you know, it has to look good, but whether it looks like amazing versus whether it just looks, you know, okay. And as for how to get started, I would say, you know, you got to just decide, like, what it is that you really want to do, and then just do it. Don't wait for, you know, an opportunity to present itself. Just start making videos. And, I mean, that's really what I did, and that's really what a lot of the people who now we're sort of working with do. And that's the story I hear over and over again when we have filmmakers or people come in. Like, I do the movie show on our channel sometimes, too, and it's the same story every time. It's like, well, I had this idea, and I got a couple friends together, and we threw some money together. And, you know, now there's all these, like, websites like Kickstarter and everything. You can raise money yourself, and you don't really need to wait. And I know a lot of people are trying to be filmmakers, and they're just, you know, they're not trying to be filmmakers. They're just filmmakers. They just had an idea, and they make it. And if you've got an idea that's compelling and funny and going to get some attention, you just make it and put it out there and see if you can build an audience.
Yeah, you know, this is really, in my opinion, the best time to start something like that. If you want to start doing some type of show or internet content, or even being something like an amateur filmmaker, we're living in the best time to do it with YouTube and internet video. It's really easy to get out there and have the potential to be viewed and downloaded by millions and millions of people.
Oh, definitely. The best time in history since filmmaking was invented that there's ever been to be an amateur filmmaker. And really, the whole line between what's an amateur filmmaker and what's just a filmmaker, it almost doesn't even exist anymore. I mean, it's, you know, anybody with a camera is a filmmaker. I knew a guy, the original guy who directed Mahalo Daily with us was this guy, Michael Gallagher, and he now runs this YouTube channel, Totally Sketch. And I mean, he was just a guy. He got a camera, he started making films, and now he's, you know, this massive YouTube channel. He's got hundreds of thousands of subscribers, and you know, he's got an agent, and I mean, he's really getting out there, and he could probably make a film pretty soon just on the basis of the reputation he's built on YouTube. And I mean, that's just, it's staggering to think about, especially for you know, an older guy like me who remembers before YouTube like yesterday. But yeah, I mean, it's amazing. So I really think, yeah, there's no reason to like sit around and wait to like write a script and get a spec deal or get an agent or, you know, like all that stuff from when I was coming up and trying to get into film just really doesn't exist anymore at all. You can just start doing it.
I mean, as much as I dislike Fred on YouTube, youtube.com/Fred, he's very annoying, but he's doing something right. He's in the top 10 most subscribed on YouTube all time, and Nickelodeon just announced Fred the Movie. So, I mean, we got to take YouTube seriously. I mean, you can start a YouTube channel and, you know, become the next Fred and get a movie. And not that I encourage anybody to go from new media to old media. In fact, I most of the time discourage that. But it opens up a lot of opportunities.
It definitely does. And I mean, I think, you know, it's not just YouTube. I mean, YouTube's obviously the biggest, most high-profile way to get attention. And yeah, like, Fred's got a big deal, and Smosh is like, those guys are a legit company now. Like, they produce a lot mm-hmm. of different media just from being goofy in their bedrooms on YouTube. But I think the interesting thing, too, is it's not just YouTube anymore. I mean, you can put, it doesn't really matter what site you put your stuff on. It's just, like, putting it up there so that you can just start sending it to people and getting it out there. I mean, you don't have to like invite people to a screening to come see your film. You can put it on Vimeo or Blip or even some other site with even less of a community than that. It's just now all of these mechanisms exist for you to just be seen, to get your name out there and just to spread the word about what it is that you're doing. And so you really have this digital calling card for yourself that you could never have before. I mean, it used to be like, well, I can make VHS tapes of my movie and send it around to people and hope they see it, but that doesn't even compare to, like, I can send out a mass email with a link in it and people can click and see what I'm doing.
For sure, mate. Yep. Yeah, agree. Do you get much into iPhone 4 at all, Lons?
I don't have an iPhone 4. I still have my my old 3G. I didn't get one right away, and now, you know, I don't know. I'm actually debating. I might get an Android next. I'm still feeling it all out. I know I host a show about an Apple product. I'm supposed to be a really devoted Jobsian fanboy, and you know, I may get an iPhone 4. I love the resolution of the screen. I mean, I got a buddy who put that Blue Planet series on his iPhone, and I mean, yeah. You look at it, and it's like majestic wildebeest sweeping down the horizon, you know, on this thing, and it's amazing. But you know, I don't know. There's stuff about Apple products I'm not crazy about, and I do feel like locked in with my phone sometimes.
Well, you can always jailbreak it.
I wish I could plug it in anywhere and use it.
Yeah, you can always jailbreak it if you wanted to, but I don't jailbreak my iPhone or any of that. But I'm not really a fan.
That's
of that.
It's a whole other. Can I say the ASS word?
Yeah, go ahead.
That's another pain in the ass to have to, you know, you jailbreak it, and then they release an update, and you got to unjailbreak it, and then jailbreak it again, and, you know, I might just get an Evo or something and not worry about it anymore.
Yeah, true, mate, true. All right, Craig, Dota Cases, mate, got some questions for you.
Great.
The name, how did you come up with the name, firstly?
Well, Dodo Case, it's a playoff of the extinct bird, the dodo.
Yep.
One of the drivers behind Dodo Case was the idea that, you know, the traditional book has the potential of disappearing in the future. And we don't want that to happen, or at least the feel of the book to disappear. So it's just kind of an ironic name that we came up with.
Cool. Good stuff. Now, how have they all made and that sort of stuff, the process of making it?
Yeah, so it's there's a two different manufacturing processes that go on to create a dodo case before we can assemble it. The first is done in a traditional book bindery in San Francisco, California. So much like a hardback book or the exterior cover of a hardback book, our book binder takes a piece of cloth lays in three different pieces of board to create the structure, and then lays down an interior cloth that's red in most of the pictures on our website, and then presses them all together using a press. So they've got some pretty heavy equipment that's been around for generations creating books. Wow. On the other spectrum, the bamboo tray that holds the iPad is milled in a milling machine based on our design specifications. Once it comes off the milling machine, it comes out of a sheet. We cut the sheet into the various dodo case pieces, and then we do some hand sanding. So then they're ready to be assembled. We bring them over to our workshop, and we use a 3M adhesive to adhese the bamboo tray to the exterior cover. We add some bumpers and some marketing material, and then you've got a final product of the dodo case.
Cool. Sounds good. All right, I just want to ask you, Sonny Dixon has sent me an email asking you a couple of questions. I'll just pick one here from the list. The first one is, how did you come up with the name?
Yeah, so the name, going back to, as yep. I said earlier, the yep. name was based on the extinct bird, the dodo.
Yep. Okay. All right. The second one is, how many orders do you get a day or a week of your cases?
You know, it really varies based on the marketing activities that go on. So like a podcast like this may create a spike in orders, and other days we may have a lull.
Okay.
So it really varies. All we haven't talked too publicly about how many we've sold in total, but there's a lot of speculation out on Twitter and on our Facebook page. We've had quite a ramp up in the 3 months we've been in business. So we've been overjoyed with the number of customers around the world that we've been able to connect with. And I think it just goes to show that the brand and the design aesthetic that we were shooting for, we really nailed it. And it meets a certain segment of the population's need for their case. I think we've created a case that feels great when you're using it. We've created a case that has a high degree of style and stealth to it. So you can walk in to a coffee shop or a business meeting with your iPad, and you're not that sort of gaudy guy flashing your big aluminum iPad in front of someone. You're just subtly blending in as if you're holding a book
yep.
or a notebook of types.
Good stuff. Good stuff. I actually seen a video by Kevin Rowe. That's how I got onto the case, and I bought one straight away. So do you know Kevin Rose personally, or just friends with him, or how did you get?
Yeah, we got connected with Kevin through another friend in San Francisco.
Okay.
And Kevin's been a great mentor. He's taken some time to meet with us, given us some feedback on the case, and he really loved his dodo case. So he's taken it on his own to spread the word, which yep. is, you know, we're very pleased about.
Wicked. Good stuff. All right. What sort of bamboo do you like? Is it high quality bamboo?
Yeah, definitely. And we work with a company that's been the leading supplier of bamboo in the U.S. for decades. They've sort of pioneered different techniques for laying together what's called plyboo. It's a bamboo plywood, effectively, where you have layers of bamboo with grain going in different directions. This does two things. One, it sort of creates different strengths in the different lengths of the dodo case.
Okay.
It creates a really cool visual look because you've got both vertical and horizontal plies of the bamboo.
Cool.
So it's a challenging material to work with, but it's a sexy material.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. So how long, like in a day, how long would it take to make one?
You know, so we can mill about, you know, 45 trays an hour on the wood machine.
Wow.
And then we'll produce, you know, quite a bit more of the exterior covers in that same amount of time.
Cool. Good stuff. All right, Jason or Tim, do you guys want to ask me a question?
Yeah, Craig, do you think the dodo case would be a perfect contender for disguising future iPad prototypes so that they could be used in a bar or something?
Yeah, exactly. As long as they don't leave them in a bar in Menlo Park to be discovered by the barkeeper.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a stealth cover and case for the iPad.
Cool. How do you go about creating your initial prototype to be manufactured?
You know, so we we started designing the case, and it's my business partner, Patrick Buckley, who designed it. He started designing the case maybe in March of this year, and it was always based on Apple's engineering drawings. So we had, and they give us pretty detailed specs, but we weren't completely 100% sure the fit was as we wanted until we got our first iPad the day the iPad launched.
And it managed to fit quite well?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So
not many adjustments or anything needed?
No. No, I mean, they've, as you can imagine, Apple sort of adhered very carefully and closely to the engineering specs they launched, and the few remaining bits that we didn't have, we were able to extrapolate based on everything else.
Cool. Do you have like a kickstand on your cases like I've seen with some of them?
We don't. I mean, it's pretty simple, the Dodo case. It does stand up on a lot of different surfaces, so you can, you know, you can prop it up and watch a movie or what have you. You can also flip the cover over on your lap, and it, the spine is about just less than an inch, so it does create, you know, perhaps about a 30-degree angle, which is good for typing.
So if somebody paired up one of the Bluetooth keyboards, it should work quite well as a word processor or what have you.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, one of our woodworkers has that exact setup.
Also, give it a bit more friction so that it doesn't slide down the table when you prop it up against the wall or something.
Yeah.
Cool. Good stuff. Craig, have you got any favorite iPad apps, mate?
Yeah, you know, the one I'm actually eager to try out, there's a game called Paradise Quest, which is built by a company called iPlay that I used to work for. And I've just been asking the guys about it, and they're raving about it. So I'm eager to try that one out. But of the apps that are on my iPad right now, I'm a heavy Evernote user.
Yep.
So I really like Evernote. I also like Penultimate.
Okay, never
heard
that
one. It's an app that allows you to kind of write notes with your finger.
Okay.
And I've gone so far as to get a stylus, and it's really good. You can, you know, draw on it. You can write notes. You can sort of diagram things and share with one another, and then you can email those as PDFs to friends.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And the other one I'm big on, just because I think it's awesome and it's going to be very useful once we have inventory in stock, is Square.
Oh yeah, yeah. Which heard of that?
Yeah, Jack Dorsey's company, and providing payment mechanisms for face-to-face transactions. We've had a few rare instances where we've met customers in San Francisco, and I really love selling stuff via Square.
Mm. How do you go about buying that device? So it just plugs into the iPad, and then you swap your credit card boot, do you?
Yeah, there's no purchase required. You simply need to get an account from Square.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And, you know, I know for a while they were in beta and you had to sort of register and get one. I'm not sure if they've transitioned out of that and how easy it is to get the device. But, you know, being in San Francisco with them, we've met a few people over there and actually sold a few Dodo cases over there via the mechanism. So they're happy to make sure we had them.
Cool. Good stuff. So do you use your iPad a lot?
I do. Yeah, you know, I tend to do my morning's worth of work on my computer because it's a lot of sort of processing of things in our back order system. But then when I'm on the go, it's always, you know, my afternoons are typically 100% on the iPad.
Cool. Okay. All right. So Evernote, and what was that other one called to check out?
Penultimate.
Penultimate. Okay. So is Evernote a full iPad app or is that just for iPhone?
It's a full iPad app.
Oh, well. Okay. Is that free?
Yes.
Okay. I'll check that out. All right.
Yeah, so you can, you know, I sync notes between my Mac computers, both my Android and my iPhone, and then my iPad.
Oh yeah, okay, cool. All right, Tim, you got any questions for Craig?
No, it looks cool, mate. It's good little, you know, case. I think you should make more for more devices and not just be Apple. You know, like think about doing some Droid phones and Droid pads that are coming out and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's definitely on the roadmap. I mean, we had sort of the initial sort of feelings about doing a case like this going back to the Kindle. But as with any Apple product, when you have a product or a complementary product available for launch the day Apple's launching a product, you've got people lining up. You know, people are going to be lining up for that product. So we actually, on launch day, we had a street team in 12 different U.S. cities handing out flyers about the Dota case, and that was how we launched it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I'm just one of those people who wouldn't buy Apple, though, so I do like your thing, but I'm going to buy an Android pad when they come out in Australia soon. I've already seen them on eBay. You can buy them. So I'm hoping to get some accessories for sort of non-Apple stuff as well, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think once we see what device is going to be the leader on the Android side, we're definitely going to jump on it. You know, for a small company like ours, since there's...
Yeah, you can't do every device.
Yeah, we can't do everything. So we just want to make sure that Android tablet's going to be popular and successful before we do a case for it. But I, like you, you know, I am a big Apple fanboy, but I also rock my Android phone, and I like some of the stuff they're doing over there as well.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. Cool. Have you sold many in Australia yet, Craig? I know I bought one. Have you sold any?
Yeah, we definitely have, you know, a number of customers, seems like every day or every week, coming from down under.
Cool.
We're supposed to get into, I think, the Australian version of Rolling Stone or Wired.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Which is going to help for sure.
Yep, for sure. For sure. Do you have any cards that you can send me? I might better pass a few around to people and stuff and...
Yeah, I mean, I think we prefer to spread the word virtually on Twitter and Facebook.
Yep.
So
that's cool.
You know, our Twitter handle is at Dodo Says.
Yep.
Okay. And then we've got a Facebook fan page as well.
Cool, wicked. Now, have you been on many podcasts at all besides this one?
I'm sorry?
Have you been on many podcasts, video podcasts? Or?
No, you know, we've been pretty heads down on the production side. So aside from working with some magazines and sending out images of the Dodo case, we haven't done a lot of audio or video interviews to date.
Mm. Okay, cool. Oh, this is the first one then?
Yeah.
Cool.
Good stuff.
Australia's leading technology webcast.